This is Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so glad you've joined us for today's talk. Whether you're looking for encouragement, some words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's what you're gonna get with Richard. He's got a unique style all his own. But one thing's for certain, you're gonna hear the gospel in a way you may have never heard before. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Now, if you're not able to stick around for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from the website, richardellistalks.com. So let's get right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
All right, the title of today is Love Shack. All right, let me ask you a question before we dive in here. How many of you either have yourself, which we'll never know if that's the case, you have yourself or you know of someone who is or has lived with someone outside of marriage? Raise your hand. Now look around the room. All these people are living with somebody right now. No, they're not. Now, it is amazing to me how, it used to be, you wouldn't have moved in with somebody. How many of you remember a day when if you lived with somebody, you were just absolutely pagan out there gone? Raise your hand. You can remember a time. Look how many people can't even remember that. You turn on the TV, you don't even have to think about it anymore. It's like everybody's just shacking up. And it's the most rational, logical procedure because you say, well, you don't buy a car without test driving it. And we want to see if we're compatible, right? There's all these justifications, these rationales for moving in together. And there is nobody much out there anymore going to look at you and say, you know what? This is out of line. Now, let me tell you, just going in here before we get too deep into this, and you're going to, if you don't know me well enough, it's your first time, it ain't happening. It's not in the book. And we may have people in this room who are, and I want you to listen close now, we may have people in this room who are right now living with someone and you're not married to them, okay? Now you think, how the heck did I get in this church on a day? This is the topic. Hopefully this will help. And some of you who have friends and that's the situation and you see how it's destroying their lives individually and collectively, hopefully today you'll have some information to take to them. But guys, there is a time and a place where you say, you know what, enough is enough, and I'm going to speak the truth in love and address this issue. Now, before we go any further, let me say what I try to always say, and it's this. If you know someone who is living together, or they're an alcoholic, or they're chasing women, or doing drugs, whatever they're doing, it's some behavior that you say, well, that's not godly behavior. The first thing you got to do is find out if they even know God. Because religious people have a tendency to try to change people's lives without showing them how their heart can change. Will they even have a desire to have their life changed? So don't go wagging your finger at somebody and saying, well, you ought to know better. God says, you're not supposed to do this, not supposed to do this. Find out if they're even Christians or not. Because frankly, if they're not Christians, they got no motivation or power to not do the wrong thing. People have all these arguments and justifications why this is okay. At some point, somebody's got to look at them and say, look, I care about you. I've been alive long enough to watch this thing happen, and maybe you have, in the past, been in some kind of relationship, whether you're having sex outside of marriage or living with somebody. And the greatest one to me is about these people say, well, we're just roommates. And I'm not saying it can't happen, because I do know of people. I've got one person in mind right now who was living with somebody, and God started working on them. And they stopped having sex, and they were in the same house, and eventually the Holy Spirit moved in their life and got her out of there. So don't be wagging. It's not about you judging somebody in the first place. It's about you loving somebody enough to gently speak the truth in love and help them find out what God's best for their life is, not what your best for their life is. Because you don't know the whole situation. But guys, I've heard every reason, every rationalization, everything on the planet. We've already had sex. What difference does it make? And I'll try to hit these as we go through. You can stop having sex. And a couple comes to me and says, well, we've done all this. I had one recently. They're living together. One of them was a Christian. One of them was not. The one that was not became a Christian. They realized something was wrong. They had to do the right thing. And they came to me and said, we think we're supposed to get married. I said, well, then stop having sex first. You need to repent from that because that's wrong. And let's have a period of time, even if it's a period of days, where you're separated, where you get away from each other, where you move out and make a statement to the people around you. And if you want to make a statement, if you're living with somebody and you decide to marry them, you want to make a statement at work or anywhere else, one of you move out and let everybody hear about that, and they go, what are you people thinking? Why'd you move out? And you say, do you really want to know? and go at them. Say, we sat down, talked about it. We realize this is wrong. There are very few people in the world anymore stepping up the plate and doing the right thing because God told them to do it, and it's the right thing to do. But when one person does it, you'd be amazed at how this thing dominoes. Now, I'm not telling y'all going to go back to work and go in your office and say, oh, where are those people living together? I know Bob was. Let's go get Bob. Bob, I went to a luncheon and you're going to hell, Bob. You know, now listen really close. You're not going to hell because you have sex outside of marriage. The only people who make it into hell are people who don't make it with Jesus. And that's why I don't talk to people about all these things on the outside. I talk about the inside first. And if you don't understand the God of the universe loves you, got a plan for your life, let his own son come, live and die on the cross, shed his blood, be buried, raised from the dead. He gave his son so you could live forever, but also between here and heaven. And there's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do that. There's a way that works and a way that doesn't work. And I don't care what everybody's telling you. I told this story Sunday. A girl was talking to a guy the other day and brought up Jesus, and he got all bent out of shape, upset, and started cussing at her. Effing this, and God's done this to me, and just flipped out. Everything was fine until she mentioned Jesus. And he said, nobody takes care of me like I take care of me. And she said, well, how's that working out for you? So you say, well, I don't want to hear all this Christian stuff. I don't care what God thinks. My way's best. I'm going to figure this out on my own. I say, well, how's that working out for you? And I talk to these women who, there's no way they can say it. The pride gets a hold of you. And, you know, you think, well, if I admit this is going on. And the couples I talk to that live in abject fear that mom and dad, you know, you think this is all okay, but you start asking them questions. Well, do your parents know you're living together? Well, no. You know, they're even whispering that. And mom comes in from out of town to see, you know, the daughter. All of a sudden, this guy moves out for a few days, and it looks like, you know, nothing's going on. Why? If you're doing it and it's so great, what are you hiding from? Now, I'm not saying just get blatant about it, but there's a right way to do this, and I want to encourage anybody in here who's doing it. And I'm telling you this, I could go table to table and find out who's living with somebody and say, you want out, don't you? And I promise you, a high percentage of them will say, yeah, I just don't know how to get out. I'm in too far. We've done this. My pride's at stake. I'm afraid I'm going to lose him because we've gone so far together. If I move out, I'll lose him. Or if I move out, I'll lose her. It could go both ways. And I'm scared. And we've gotten all of our finances commingled. We've bought things together. We're playing house. And if we pull apart, it's going to be financially devastating because we've got credit card bills, all this stuff. If you are that person, or you know someone like that, guys, sit down with them and say, look, let's think this through, let's figure out a plan, and let's get you where you're supposed to be, especially if you're a Christian. Now, lest you think I'm just making all this up, let's see what God says. Let me read you a passage out of Proverbs chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Drink water from your own cisterns, and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. And it's talking about sexual issues here, being with someone, let it be the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, I'm going to say the B word here, so just hold on, okay? As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast, in other words, your wife's, not everybody else's, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman? And this thing could flip the other way. And be embraced in the arms of a seductress. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. Now let me tell you one thing right here. You think you're getting away with something? You ain't getting away with jack. The God of the universe looks down and he knows what I'm thinking, what I'm doing, what you're thinking, what you're doing. You think you're playing hide and go seek with God. He sees you and he loves you enough that he will come after you. I love my kids. I can't stand spanking my little girls. I got this house full of girls and it's hard to spank little girls. But I got this, you know, tool belt of spoons in my house. And all I got to do is wave at them with that spoon, that sound. There's something about the sound of a wooden spoon on your hand right there. Boy, that does something to a girl's backside. Anyhow, he loves you enough, and your ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all your paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Now let me tell you something. I'm surrounded by religious people a lot of times who want to go wagging fingers and telling people all this stuff. If you are sincerely concerned about somebody and their well-being and their lifestyle and what they're going through, then you are going to go with surgical gentleness. And if you really love them, you're going to speak the truth, but you're going to speak it in love. And you're going to be praying for them. And by the time you get an opportunity to sit down and talk to them, you may be weeping the words that you're saying. And saying, look, I've been watching this. I've been watching you. I see the stress you're under, the pain you're going through, the fear in your face. I can't take it anymore. And I love you enough to risk our entire friendship to say, you can get out. This is not what God has planned for your life. And I'm going to pray for you. I'll pray with you. And I want to help you to do the right thing. Now, you go with that attitude. Somebody may, you know, flip you off or tell you it's your another whatever business and storm out, but they will know that somebody cares and somebody's there when they do decide to get out. Now, let me read you another one out of 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. And he says, and he's writing back to them about something they wrote to him about. You know, the world just got a lot of questions about sex. It's a pretty popular thing. You can't go in the grocery store and look at any magazine, women's or otherwise. The word sex is in big, bold letters on every magazine you find. That sells magazines. And it's usually something about sexual pleasure and all this weird, you know, trying to get these, we want more of that, you know, let's find out what that is. Same questions back then. And Paul writes, he says, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And some of you, we're going like, well, that doesn't sound very fun. Now, he says, in a context. And the thing that amazed me, people think, well, sex is evil. Look, I didn't come up with this thing. He did.
Right. Amen.
I mean, man did not dream up sex. This is God's idea.
That's right.
And it's supposed to be an awesome thing in the right context. It's not in the abundance of women. It's in the pleasure with one and the commitment to one. And if America and the world ever figure this out, we'd be the happiest married people on the planet. There is nothing like loving one person and being loved by that person and experience the fulfillment that's there. And I'm getting pretty candid here, and there aren't many kids in the room, probably none. You know, I tell my wife this. You would think that doing the same thing with the same person for so long would get old. And I look at her sometimes and I say, this is nuts. This can't get better all the time. Waving at me back there. You say, Richard, I don't believe that. I say, then you try it and prove me wrong. Just pick you one and stay there. And we think, well, the multiple partners, that's it. And having fun and excitement. Let me tell you something. There is more excitement in a marriage bed where it's God's way than you'll ever find anywhere on the planet. Because when you get in that bed, whatever happens in that bed, when it's over, you want to stay. You're not figuring out how you're going to sneak out in the night and not see that person ever again. I didn't plan to say all these things today. I can't find any of this in my notes today. I think after I said the word breast, I was gone. All right, now listen. 1 Corinthians 7, concerning the things you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Verse 2, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, and I don't usually pull this stuff on you, but listen to the word for sexual immorality and see if you know what this sounds like. Porneia. You know where we get our word pornography from? Sexual immorality. The word for sex outside of marriage is tied up in this word. It means fornication, and that's not over east of Dallas, by the way, either. Illicit sexual intercourse. It can classify it as adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, all these things. And you say, oh, that's not going on. Let me tell you something. There is so much evil out there right now and has been forever. I'm not saying think about it, but you better wake up if you think the enemy doesn't have another plan for your life and everybody around you. And the internet single-handedly is a tremendous tool for good, but it is putting more crap in front of more people, men and women alike, exposure that you, it's unbelievable, and it's instant access. Anything you want. You type in anything you want, you can have it on the internet. It also can apply to sexual intercourse with close relatives, sexual intercourse with a divorced man or woman, and then metaphorically can also mean the worship of idols. But he says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality that people are prone to sleep around and do these things, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. It's in the book. If you're having trouble sleeping around in this great temptation, all this, get married. I'm not just saying the first thing you see, but, you know, consider that as a possibility. And by the way, if your intent is to do the God thing and you really do want to be married, you're going to have to stop screwing around. You're going to have to repent and say, you know what, God, this is wrong. I don't want to live this way. And get connected vertically and then try to get connected horizontally with somebody and let Him pick a person. There's got to be repentance somewhere in the deal. And that repentance is changing your mind. You say, God, I've been saying this was okay and this is right, and I'm telling you, I agree with you that this is not okay, it is not right, and I'm going to stand on what the book says no matter what anybody else tells me, and I'm going to do the right thing. You say, well, what if it doesn't work? This whole thing's at stake. The whole book's at stake if it doesn't work. Trust God, not your instincts and what you think is fun, because guys, it's not fun anymore. And I'm the one that has to sit with these people, married, non-married, divorced. I mean, I got stories. You know, I'm not tired of hearing them. I'm just telling you, I am sick of the pain of sin. And everybody's having a great, you know, all these illicit, exciting things going on. They end up in disaster every time. And if I went around the room and said, how many of you women have had a husband who's messed around on you or been in a relationship where you were living with somebody and he cheated on you? Well, you're not married. It shouldn't be any big deal. You're not tied to him. But it's painful, isn't it? Don't nod. I'll know it's you. All right, here we go. I'm not looking up for a minute while you're still nodding. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. There's a misconception out there that men want sex and women don't. There's some women out there who want sex and the men don't. I've never met any of those personally, but I hear they're out there. But men who say, well, you know, I'm not interested, I'm just not that kind of person. If you're married to a woman who is that kind of person, you have a responsibility to step out in faith, if that's what's required with you, that's never been my problem, but step out in faith and say, you know what, God, this is my wife, I want to give her the affection that's due her. And there are men and women in this room struggling on both sides of the room, on both sides of the fence on this thing. And you're ready to go and he's not, or he's ready to go and you're not. You need to talk to God about it, number one, and talk to each other about it, number two, and do something about it. Because it is a whole lot better for you to fix it at home than to send one of those two people out in the world looking around, because what they're looking for at home is not there. And the devil says, well, you don't have it there, but boy, we got a lot of options out here today. What about her? What about him? I bet he'd be nice. Then some guy invites you to lunch and says, wow, you're looking nice today. Are you doing something different to your hair? Anybody ever told you you have beautiful eyes? That gets women every time. Even my daughters love that. All right, now listen to verse 4. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And there's not, it doesn't stop there. And the likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. This is a mutually committed, consensual relationship where you communicate and express your needs and give and take. Verse 5. Now, this is one of the best verses in the whole Bible. Are you ready? You're really ready. I know you're ready over here. In the context of sexual relationships, is what it says. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. You agree as a married couple not to have sex, and here's the reason he gives. That you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. Which implies here that couples ought to be fasting and praying together about stuff. So you stop if you say we're going to abstain from food and sex, we're going to pray and fast about an issue in our lives, but we're going to come back together again so that Satan does not tempt us or tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Don't do this for a prolonged period of time. Get back together. I mean, it's in the book. People say, well, God, you know, thinks it's evil and sex and all this stuff's evil. Not in the right context. And he's encouraging more of it unless you stop for the right reasons. I want you all to see this. There's a whole other world of people out there that don't even want to think or talk about this. It's a beautiful thing when it's a beautiful thing. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. In other words, you don't have to get married, for I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. Why? For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. God is for marriage, and if that's what you're after, then say, God, show me the right person and help me commit to the right person and do the right thing in regards to this. Let me read you one out of Hebrews 13, and we're almost done. Hebrews 13, 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let me read you out of the NIV. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Now let me just throw this out here, and then I'll end on a high note, not on this note. If you think you're getting away with this, you got another thing coming. Because the truth is that God loves you enough that there is consequence, and He is going to come after you, and He is going to get your attention, and you are going to do the right thing, because that's what's best for you. And the Bible says that He chastens those that He loves. And even for non-believers, and I say this, you know, if they're not Christians, what does it matter? There is moral consequence for even non-Christians. There are certain things that just work in life, and when you violate certain principles, it screws things up. And they don't understand why it's not working. Explain to them it's just never going to work the wrong way, and that God's got a permanent, ultimate plan for their life that does work, and it involves Jesus, His life, death, burial, resurrection, their heart being changed, their life being changed. And although God does get your attention, and there are consequences, and there is judgment associated with this, obviously by what it says, there is forgiveness, there is mercy.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. There's a prayer wall to share your prayer request where others can pray for you along with us. And our Find a Station is a great search feature to find a radio station. There's a spotlight tab highlighting our latest featured programs, a place where you can financially partner with us on our contribute link, and a whole lot more. There's a ton of great stuff there just for you. So check it out. It'll be well worth your time. RichardEllisTalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now let me just hit some points. If you are considering moving in with someone just because everybody's doing it and it's economically, whatever your justification, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, don't do it. And if you just need a roommate that bad, go find, you know, move in a dorm somewhere and enroll in college. I mean, you know, if you have money problems and you're going to move in, that's what the devil's telling you, get a roommate. You don't need the complications. You say, well, we're just going to, for money, say, we're not sleeping together till we get married. Don't do it. If you're living together with someone right now and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart saying, this is not right, it is never going to work and you know it, I am here today to encourage you to get out. And if you can't get out by yourself, then you go see a girlfriend or a guy that you know and trust and say, look, you know I'm in the wrong deal. I know I'm in the wrong deal. I got to get out of this. And it may take some steps. I don't know where I'm going to go. This is the big fear. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do? Get out of there. Because if you end up married to this person, you're going to have to correct the behavior. And if you're not going to end up married to this person, you are going down a disastrous road. Because it's not going to be pretty. You are sexually, intimately, financially, whatever, involved with another person that there is zero commitment. Now, if you do this long enough, now you are married to them, but by default. You got all this common law stuff. I don't want a common law wife personally. I don't want a common anything in a wife. I like the one I got. Now, I'm not knocking if you got you a common law wife, that is better than not having any wife at all. But I'd recommend if that's all you got, say, you know what, let's get us a preacher or somebody and let's say, God, we're not going to want this by default. We choose each other. We choose you. We want to do the right thing and do the right thing. If you're living with someone you think you should marry, then step up the plate tonight or whenever it is and say, look, and if you're the guy especially, God have mercy on the men in these deals, you know, get some guts and step up the plate, guys. And look at a woman and say, you know what? This is wrong. And you're a great lady, and I think I'm supposed to marry you, but this is wrong. And we're going to draw a line in the sand, and we're going to do the right thing. And I'm moving out, or you're moving out. We're going to do the right thing and give God a period of time to show us and give us a peace about this if it's His plan for our lives, and then we're going to get married. I can't think of any woman who wouldn't love to have that conversation. And if you've lived with someone in the past, God forgives, whether you married him or not. God forgives. And you say, God, you know what? It brings up all these memories because I look at my own marriage maybe and we lived together, we got married, and I'm a disaster. No, you're not. You're forgiven if you've gone to Him for forgiveness. And there is mercy, and He abundantly pardons. And what you can do instead of hiding your past is say, God, use my past and the good that you brought from it to help somebody else when they're in a time of need to say, you know what? I tried what you're trying. This is what happened to us. It doesn't work. And you probably ought to try this. It's worth it. Do the right thing and turn your shack into a real love shack that God intended for it to be.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. One thing's for certain, when Richard talks, the message of the gospel is gonna be clear. And if that's something you wanna know more about, then clearly, we wanna hear from you. One way is to give us a call and let us know how we can help. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're on the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer requests and people all over will pray for you, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It would mean a lot to us. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.